speaker is Rod from San Diego.
My name's Rod, and I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to thank Joe for inviting me to share, and this is a very enthusiastic group here, a very large group, and I'm privileged, and it's an honor to speak to you. My sobriety date is May 29th of 2012. That's not the first time I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if it worked for you your first time and you were able to stay sober, I think that is absolutely fantastic. And you probably won't get much out of my talk. But I do want to share what happens to someone who doesn't get it and who is whose self-centeredness and pride kept them from this fantastic program and the damage that it caused, not only to myself, but especially to my family, because I have a drunkalog that could never be covered in 10 minutes. I'm not proud of it. I'm going to touch base on it a little bit tonight, and this is more for the newcomer. I would hope that after you hear me that you never have to do some of the things that I did and have the shame that I have, and that you could just absorb this great gift from God, which is the 12 steps in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I started drinking. I don't recall the first time I drank, but in our family, the remedy for a sore throat was a shot of gin, and you had to swallow it. You gargled and swallowed it. And my earliest memory of doing that was probably about 3 or 4 years old. And by the time I was about 11, we were up in McCall, Idaho. I grew up in Idaho, and we were in a hot pot, which is like a natural hot springs. And we were with my best friend's older brothers, and this group of college girls came up that were on vacation for the summer from California. And we were already sitting in this little pool, and they took off their clothes, got in, and passed around a pipe with something in it, and a jug of wine, and I was already a veteran drinker, but that started my path on other things. And from that point on, for the next 40 years, I did just about everything imaginable. By the time I was 18, I'd already had a DUI. By the time I was 21, it was my third, and I got introduced to the courts. And by the time I was 26, I ended up flatline and in a rehab. And then it started to get really bad. I ended up in a prison for racketeering, and I spent my 30th birthday in prison. And by that time, I'd had 4 DUIs, and I was up for felony for, you know, other things. And when I got out, I moved to California, and I went to pick up my stepson to take him to a ball game, and he was with a little boy. And it turned out that the mothers, this little boy's mother and my ex-wife, were friends, and they were dealing out of this apartment. But this little boy's father was in the program, and he took me to Old Town Speakers meeting in 1991. And I wish to tell you that I would have gotten that at that time, and I wish to God I could have stopped drinking at that time, but I did not. That man stayed with me, and he's still my sponsor today. And I'd be dead if it wasn't for him. I've lived on his couch for a year. He's pulled me out of, I mean, countless situations, taken me to find my car. I mean, I can't tell you how pathetic my life was. But after that first introduction in Old Town in 1921, I was to go on and get 7 additional convictions for DUI and do 3 prison terms. In my last prison term, I got out in May. It was May 29th, 2013, which is a year after my sobriety day. But something happened at that time. Something happened that I can never forgive myself for. What caused my last relapse, as I say, what caused my last relapse is because I'm self-centered and I couldn't get honest with myself. But my mother, I found out my mother was dying from cancer. I went out and got hammered. Got it, DUI. Somehow, miraculously, they let me out on bail, which I've never been out on bail. The last 4 arrests, I've been reprimanded. And I got to go back and bury her, and I watched her die, and I got to spend the last 2 weeks of her life. But she, by the time I got there, she was out of it, and so she never got to see me sober. And while I was in Chino, you know, I went back to go to court right after the funeral. I went back to go to court, and you know, they reprimanded me, and I was in Chino, and my father had died, and I didn't know it. And they wouldn't tell me until I got to another prison, and I was called out by a priest, and he said, you know, they wouldn't tell you because you hadn't been classified. They couldn't put you on suicide watch, but your father was had died, and he had a massive heart attack, and they buried him. So, you know, 2 months apart, both of my parents died. They never got to see me sober, and I couldn't attend my father's funeral. Now, a lot of other things happened in that time period. A lot of terrible damage happened to my children, my family, and all the people along the way that I hurt. But I have to say that there was one thing that kept me going, and it was the fact that I had hope and I had a sponsor, and that sponsor kept me alive. It kept me from, you know, totally going off the deep end. And, you know, along the way, I went through several rehabs, and they teach you a lot of things. Like, for instance, they say in the medical field that alcoholism is a physiopsychosocial disorder. And that's a big word that just simply means it's either passed down to your family, you know, generation to generation, or some people may have a mental disorder where they can't control their addiction. Or some people, just their social environment, they're out there drinking, partying, and then all of a sudden it gets their clutches on them, and it becomes a habit. If you're like me, you know, I had all three. But it really doesn't matter, you know, what your addiction is. I know some other people stood up and identified. The reality is we're broken. And since the beginning of time, this type of affliction has been around, and there's only been a cure, as you know, just recently in the Anonymous programs, and Alcoholics Anonymous specifically. And the reason it works is because it pleases God. God blessed this program because its premise is His greatest commandment. Love your brother as you love yourself. Do unto others as you do unto yourself. And with that, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven, and if you follow these principles, you can get sober. You know, the greatest teacher said, and he was speaking to hypocrites that had a hardened heart, hypocrites that couldn't see what they were doing wrong within themselves, and he said, brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, for you can't even perceive the plank in your own eye. And I've heard that from the podium, and I always wondered, you know, what did that mean? But what it meant was, you've got to get honest. You have to be honest with what's in your gut and your heart. You know, we have a malady of the spirit, they call it, where alcohol is just a cure for that symptom, so we can continue to do this wreckage, this damage. And, you know, it took me on my knees coming back across that prison yard. I was in a level 4 prison, and I was shackled on, and I finally, you know, ask God, and I got honest with myself, and I had to really absorb where I was at. And through all of that, you know, I came to believe in that my God would forgive me, and that, you know, even though I can never make amends to my parents, they'll never see me sober, I can continue to share that message with other alcoholics, you know. Joe asked me to share. We were at a panel the other night, and it was a very spiritual thing, and I was very grateful to spend some time with him on his birthday week. But we get to help people who are much like me, you know, that just couldn't get it. And, you know, Don, you came up here on a year. I hope you just stay with it. Stay with your sponsor, because you don't have to drink. You don't have to do what I did. You don't have to be so ignorant and say, you know, my thing was, oh, this is too lame. You know, I got this figured out. And, you know, let me tell you, writing your 15-year-old twin daughters from prison, if that isn't lame, I don't know what is, you know. And, you know, that 18-month multiple conviction program you go through with the DMV, I've been through it 5 times. Do the math. You can choose that. 5 times I've been through that. And You know, if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd be dead. If it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't be here tonight, and I wouldn't have my children back, which I just recently were able to get custody back. And you know, I'm back to work, and I have hope. And there's a saying, it's an old Russian proverb that says, "He who has never been to sea is never truly prayed to God." And I hope that all of you can just grab onto someone, don't pick up that drink no matter what, and have God come in and remove this from you, because it will work, because He has blessed this program. Thank you for letting me share.